Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The man accused of starting the Palisades fire will have to face a judge.
This has been charged on a criminal complaint at this point as arson.
And victims of the Eaton fire say SoCal Edison is trying to avoid paying what it actually owes.
Try to save as much money as they possibly can in the process and to mitigate their losses. They're not worried about us. They're worried about themselves, which is the ones with the billions of dollars.
All that and more on today's LA Local for Thursday, October 9th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Nate Ward, and I'm your dutiful host for today. Let's talk about all this fire-related fallout. The man accused of setting the Palisades fire is supposed to make a court appearance in Florida, but that has been put off until next week. Residents who had their entire lives turned upside down over the fire have expressed a range of emotions over his arrest. Karen Adams has the story.
Anger, hurt, and determination are some words people who lost everything in the fire are feeling about the arrest of 29-year-old Jonathan Rindernecht. He's accused of maliciously starting the Lockman fire New Year's Day, which smoldered for days underground, investigators say, igniting the Palisades fire.
Many of us had a pit in our stomach. It reopens a wound after 9 months. Palisadians knew that the fire did in fact start on January 1st around 2 a.m.
Right now, Rindernecht is facing federal arson charges, but many speculate murder charges could also be added to account for the 12 people killed in the Palisades fire. L.A. City Councilwoman Tracy Park was asked about it.
As you heard Mr. Asaley say at the press conference, this has been charged on a criminal complaint at this point as arson. It will go to the grand jury. I think we may expect to see additional charges added, but that will be in the hands of the grand jury.
Park says there are many questions to be answered in the Palisades fire, including the city's role in fighting it.
I'm assuming the trial will be held in Florida because there's almost no way he'll get a fair shot in this state. I mean, not that it matters much because the evidence against this guy is looking a little overwhelming, in my opinion. The days leading up to that first fire and the evening of it, he repeatedly listened to a French rap song and watched the music video of that rap song where there are objects being lit on fire. And also, officials say cell phone records show that Rindernecht was the only person in the area when the fire started. He left the scene after starting the fire, allegedly, but returned to the scene to watch it burn. Investigators, they found a barbecue-style lighter inside the glove compartment of his car weeks later. And it appeared to be the same lighter that he took a photo of on New Year's Eve on his phone. He also admitted to bringing a lighter with him when he walked up on the hill where the fire started. And he also played around with ChatGPT at one point, asking it to create an image of a dystopian painting that showed off a burning forest and a crowd of people running away from the fire. You know, I'm no judge. I don't think I could ever be a judge because if I heard all of this, I'd be like, guilty. Throw him away. Yeah, in my opinion, I think this greasy moron did it. And hopefully he does a lot of time when they ultimately find out that he did it. So, you know, officials believe that fire had been underground for a week. And that ultimately turned into the deadly Palisades fire that took lives and destroyed thousands of homes. How on earth can a fire burn underground for that long? Well, that's where KNX explains.
You've heard the news. Now, KNX explains.
We asked fire investigation expert Richard Meyer how underground fires happen.
When we're talking about fire, we're talking about combustion or the combination of a fuel and an oxidizer. And there's two ways that that generally happens. One is the way we commonly know, flaming combustion, where you see fire, you see a flame, you see smoke. The other is what we call smoldering, and it is a slower form of combustion where there may be light, but typically not smoke. It happens at lower temperatures, and it can happen at very low oxygen levels. So in a case like this, what happens is something on the ground starts on fire, say like a tree. The fire continues to burn down to the roots. And then once the fuel starts to go underground, there's less oxygen. So the fire transitions from flaming combustion to smoldering combustion. And then think of smoldering as like a cigarette. You see a glow. It's not very hot. It doesn't take a lot of air to keep it going. So anyway, so once it gets underground, smoldering combustion doesn't take a lot of oxygen to continue burning because it's a very slow oxidation process. So it can actually burn slowly underground for an extended period of time. And to give some examples, I've had a case myself where one homeowner was burning yard debris. Put out the fire with a hose. They buried it up. About a week later, there was a very strong windstorm that blew for a couple of days. Ended up re-energizing the fire. It transitioned back to flaming combustion, and firebrands, or you know, flying, burning things in the air, ended up setting the neighboring property on fire and burning down a farm. To give you an even longer example, there is a fire burning in Centralia, Pennsylvania, that has been burning for over 50 years, and that is the result of a trash dump where they used to burn the garbage, setting fire to a coal seam that was exposed in the ground. And that's been burning under the town for over 50 years. The town had to be abandoned. Everybody had to be relocated. And to go even a step farther, there is a coal seam in Australia that they believe has been burning for over 5,000 years. And that is based on Aboriginal rock drawings that they've found. And some scientists estimate that it may have been burning for 500,000 years. But yeah, smoldering fires or smoldering combustion can happen underground for a long, long time. And it really just takes, as long as there's enough fuel and it starts getting more oxygen, it can transition back to a flaming fire.
Well, that was fire investigation expert Richard Meyer with the explanation there. And it sounds like it has a lot to do with smoldering. Let's now talk about survivors of the Eaton Fire. They're calling out SoCal Edison for trying to cheap out on its proposed compensation plan to make things right. Those survivors, they want the utility to actually pay what it owes and fix what is now broken. Karen Adams has more. She's been coming in hot with all of these stories lately. I don't think I meant to say it in that way. I'm sorry for the terrible pun. I'm sorry. But here's Karen Adams. She's been killing it.
The survivors' full response is in a 51-page report, Fix What You Broke. They say they want everyone included in the plan, children, renters, and smoke-damaged homes equally. And they want SoCal Edison to cover the full living costs of survivors until they're back home.
Under this proposal, most Eaton Fire survivors would receive only a fraction of what PG&E paid its campfire victims, and PG&E was bankrupt.
Joy Chin is with the Eaton Fire Survivors Network. Zaire Calvin, who lost two homes and his sister in the fire, says Edison should just act in good faith.
Why not be ahead of the game and make sure that the remediation of all of our homes are taken care of in good faith, regardless of the program, regardless of anything, to show since they were the ones that actually burned us down.
He says the plan is about Edison mitigating its losses.
It's to try to save as much money as they possibly can in the process and to mitigate their losses. They're not worried about us, they're worried about themselves, which is the ones with the billions of dollars.
The survivors here say any compensation should not only be about making everyone whole, but it should be done in no more than 2 years' time.
Now on to another fire-related lawsuit involving a multi-billion dollar corporation. Workers at Chevron's El Segundo refinery are now suing after getting hurt in last week's explosion. Pete Demetrio has more on that.
Initially, it was believed there were no injuries at the location when the Isomax 7 unit of the refinery, which produces jet fuel, was ripped by an explosion and fire. Now, four individuals who claim they were working in the immediate area of the blast have filed claims for damages for injuries through the law firm of Arnold & Itkin, which is based in Texas, where Chevron has its corporate headquarters. The four plaintiffs, three of whom are Texas residents and one from Louisiana, claim the company failed to ensure that flammable materials were isolated and failed to operate in a fashion to prevent an ignition, fire, and explosion. Attorneys say they'll be sending investigators to El Segundo to conduct an investigation separate from the corporation or from OSHA, and they're asking for millions of dollars in damages for physical injuries and psychological trauma to their plaintiffs. We've reached out to Chevron for comment, but haven't received a response yet.
Well, between these two fire-related lawsuit stories, I think there's a bit of a moral of the story. And these large corporations, they really need to get their ducks in a row in concerns to safety, because if not, they will pay on the back end. This refinery has received dozens of health and safety violations in the months and weeks leading up to this explosion. So just some food for thought there. And speaking of food, now on to California's public schools. This might be some bittersweet news for the kids who go to them, because California is phasing out ultra-processed foods from school meals over the next decade. Art Sanders says it's a first-in-the-nation law just signed by Governor Gavin Newsom.
The law defines ultra-processed foods, the often super-tasty products typically full of sugar, salt, and unhealthy fats. The legislation requires the state's Department of Public Health to adopt rules by mid-2028 defining ultra-processed foods of concern and restricted school foods. At an event at Belvedere Middle School in L.A., Newsom said the law has been a long time coming, and it's gained support from both sides of the aisle.
The bipartisan nature of this, finally, everyone waking up that it's not a finger to point, it's not a fist to throw around, it's an open hand, that we're all in this together, we're all better off, and it's a movement that should unite all of us.
Schools have to start phasing out those ultra-processed and restricted foods by July 2029, and districts will be barred from selling them for breakfast or lunch by July 2035. Vendors will be banned from providing the foods of concern to schools by 2032.
Well, there we go. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this subject of kids' nutrition, because some people let their kids eat anything they want, you know, literally McDonald's each and every day and candy and sweets galore and sodas. And then others force their kids to eat like monks on some sort of self-punishing pilgrimage where they only get like kale and more kale. So ultimately, a balanced diet is probably the best for children's minds and bodies. So this is probably for the best because, you know, kids, it's hard for them to not just want foods based on how they taste. And only until we get a little bit older and kind of realize the health ramifications from just eating whatever just simply tastes good, you know, usually most of us at some point or another realize we can't solely nourish our bodies based on what our taste buds happen to like. So that's all we got for today's LA Local episode for Thursday, October 9th, 2025. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the entire inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Please tune in next time for another episode of LA Local. We appreciate you for listening. Have some fun out there and peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.